So we're going to continue our current study. Oh, not that one. We're going to continue our current studies on the Holy Spirit. And this morning we will talk about even more gifts of the Spirit. This is our third week talking about gifts. We'll do one more week of gifts next week, and then I might do one or more weeks generally about the Holy Spirit. After that, we'll see where I go with all this. I'm not quite sure. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last 2 weeks we've been looking at the gifts listed in Romans 12. There's another list of gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Let me stop for a second and just let you know a little bit about what's going to be going on in the service this morning. My goal is to try to end just a tad bit early. And what I've asked the elders and the pastors, their wives, to be available, to come up. They're going to come up front. And we're going to pray for people who want prayer. It could be that as we've talked about things over the last 5 or 6 weeks, maybe you feel like you want to have hands laid on you. Maybe you might feel like you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It may be that we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and maybe you want to ask God for gifts of the Spirit, whatever they would be. It could be that you need healing. It could be that you just need prayer, that you need encouragement. And so I've asked the fellows and their gals to come up, and at the end of the service, we will just have a time of prayer. And if you would like to have prayer, gosh, I had probably about a dozen people that wanted to get prayed for last service. It was a wonderful time. Just want to let you know that's where we're heading. If you don't want that, that's okay. Then you'll be done with the service when we get to that point. So that's what we're heading with the service this morning. So, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. He's writing to a church of Gentiles. And he talks about these dumb idols. Now, it's not like stupid idol. That's a stupid idol. That's a dumb idol. That's not that version of dumb. But this is dumb as the ideas of they're speechless. You know, they worship things made out of stone or wood or gold or whatever. And you can talk to them all you want, but they ain't talking back. And if they do, I have some friends you need to talk to, okay? Because, you know, they don't talk. They're dumb in the sense of being speechless. But friends, Paul's point here is that God is not speechless. In contrast to the idols, God is not speechless. He has something to say. And he speaks in a couple of different ways. Predominantly in this chapter, we're going to be talking about the way he speaks through the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he talks about what people might say who are supposedly being led by the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit does speak. He does speak today. He hasn't stopped speaking. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. I got so many things I'm telling everybody that I'm going to talk about next week. I don't know how I'll get it all in. Anyway, he does speak. And when he speaks, he does not curse Jesus. Whether it's somebody speaking in English or in an unknown tongue, I got news for you. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's nothing bad about Jesus. Instead, he is honoring Jesus. He is calling Jesus Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word here in Greek. I got a little bit of an apology. For those of you who wonder why I talk about Greek words every once in a while. It's not because I'm trying to impress you, though I really am. I'm secretly trying. How many of you are impressed? Are you impressed that your pastor uses Greek words? That's not what it's about. The Bible was originally written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek, a form of Greek called Koine Greek. You have different English versions because people have translated these ancient texts different times. I think it's helpful, I believe it's helpful, to every once in a while go back to the original texts and get a little more flavor. So again, the reason why I will give you from time to time Greek words when we're teaching in the New Testament and Old and Hebrew words in the Old Testament is because it really is, there is some flavor that you kind of miss no matter how good the translation is. You always kind of miss a little bit of the flavor. The word for gifts here is charisma. We've talked about this word before. And we have an English word, charisma. You have the word charismatic, comes from this. The definition of it is a favor which one receives, a gift which one receives without any merit of his own. Spiritual gifts are literally works of grace. Because the word for grace is these first couple letters, charis. And so when you add ma at the when you add your ma at the end of something, it's a work of this thing. Charisma, a work of grace. That's what spiritual gifts are. It's not because you deserved it, not because you earned it, not because you stopped doing all the bad things in your life. I'm afraid it didn't work that way. It's just a gift given out of no good reason. Except he wants to give it to you. Verse 5 says, there are differences of ministries. The word differences, it's too bad they translate that in New King James as differences, because it's the exact same word that's used in verse 4, 5, and 6. In verse 4 and 6, it's translated diversities. Here it's translated differences, but it's all the same word. It's all about how you divide things up. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Ministries, the Greek word here, is diakonia. You get the word deacon from this word. It means to serve, ministering those who execute the commands of others. Ministries are what we do when we are serving others. That's what ministry is all about. It's when we are serving others. And ministries use gifts. When you are given spiritual gifts, the reason that you're given them is not to just keep a little box on your dresser and open up every once in a while and go, my, what a beautiful little gift. No, they are meant to be used. And when you use your gifts, you use them in ministries. Verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. The word for activities, energema. We get energy from that. Energema, it's a thing wrought, an effect, an operation. An activity, these activities are the results of serving. So if you look at the progression in these three verses, you start with gifts. When you use your gifts, you use them in a ministry. And when you serve in a ministry, the result is the effect, the activities. The point of these three phrases, these three verses, is that God wants you to learn, wants me to learn, to appreciate diversity. There's different gifts. There are different ministries. And there are different effects. And you know what? It's all God. It's all God. A common mistake that we all make is comparing ourselves to other people. Huge mistake. Common mistake. We all make this mistake. Four expectant fathers were in a hospital waiting room while their wives were in labor. The nurse arrived and announced to the first man, "Congratulations, sir, you are the father of twins." What a coincidence, the man said with some obvious pride. "I work for the Minnesota Twins baseball team." The nurse returned a little while later. And she turns to the second man and she says, "You, sir, are the father of triplets." "Wow, that's an incredible coincidence," he said. "I work for 3M. "Wow, triplets, 3M. Chuckle, thank you. Okay. "My buddies will never let me live this one down." About an hour later, while the two men are passing cigars around, the nurse comes back again. This time she turns to the third man, who has been very quiet in the corner. She announced that his wife had just given birth to quadruplets. Stunned, he doesn't know what to say. "Don't tell me," she says. "Another coincidence?" After regaining his composure, he says, I don't believe it. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." at this point, everyone's attention turns to the fourth guy in the room who has just fainted. Flat out on the floor, the nurse rushes to his side, and after some time she revives him. He gains consciousness, and when he's finally able to speak, all you can hear him say is muttering over and over again, I shouldn't have taken that job. I shouldn't have taken that job. I shouldn't have taken that job at 7-Up. The point is, friends, when you compare yourself to other people, it's going to cause you grief. Sometimes we compare gifts. You know, maybe it's maybe you admire somebody because of the gifts that they have, and you think, "Wow, I could never be like that. What a poor, a lowly person because I don't have that gift." That's a mistake to go down that road, because God, if He hasn't already, He wants to give you gifts. Some of us make mistakes by comparing ourselves with people who are serving God in other ministries, and we wish that we could do what they do, get to serve where they serve. I remember I had a good friend who, man, I was so jealous of him. He got hired by Pastor Chuck to be the college pastor at Costa Mesa, you know, back in the 80s. I was like, but what about me? I mean, I wanted to be noticed too. I was so jealous of him. Sometimes we compare ourselves with people who might have the same gifts, might have the same ministries, but the results are different. You look at him and he's feeding the homeless, about 100 people a day. You? Well, you're lucky if you can reach one person a month. And you get jealous over this. Why? Because you're making the mistake of comparing yourself to other people. Friends, there are different gifts. It's all God. There are different ministries. It's all God. And there's different effects. It's all God. Watch out about comparing yourself to others. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The word for manifestation, phanerosis, it comes from the word phanerao, not phaneru, phanerao. Which means literally to make visible or to make known what has been hidden or unknown. It's like my friend Aaron would say, to pull the covers off of something. Something's hidden and it's now made known. It's now revealed. That's what the word manifestation means. And the idea here is that the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, are the ways that the Holy Spirit lets people know that He's at work. It's not just gifts like miracles or speaking in tongues or word of knowledge that people see God at work. It's even gifts like helps, mercy. It's all the gifts. All the gifts are ways that God reveals Himself to people. You might have the gift of mercy and you decide to... You decide that there are some people you need to go visit in the hospital. And God pours out His compassion on them through you. And they are touched by God when the gift is at work. That's the way God works. All of the gifts work this way. That's why we make a mistake of comparing ourselves to others. Because they're all important. They're all valid. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all for the profit of all. Or is given to each one for the profit of all. There's that phrase, the profit of all, it actually translates one word, sum phero. Sum meaning together. Phero meaning to bear, to carry. So it means to carry with others or to help. And because when you're all working together, it's a good thing. It's profitable. So sometimes this word is translated profitable or expedient. To carry together. That's a good idea. Now, I was kind of chewing on this word. I was thinking about the story, the time when Peter's roof was destroyed. Remember the story about when Peter's roof was destroyed? This happened early in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus was sitting in Peter's living room, And everybody wants a piece of Jesus. Everybody shows up and they pack out this little house. And by the way, it's a little house. It's a little house. And it's packed. And it says in Mark 2, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. What I thought was interesting is I was thinking about this story, and then I looked up in the Greek, and the word where it says they were bringing him, the word bringing is the Greek word pharaoh, which is the root of sum pharaoh. So it's kind of cool. There's like a built-in tie there. These men were bringing in their friend, and they were doing it together. They were literally carrying the friend together. And it says, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they go up on the roof. They uncovered the roof where he was, and Peter's starting to wonder why the ceiling's starting to fall in. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. This paralyzed man had four friends who cared enough about him to do whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Even destroying Peter's roof. And I don't know if they ever repaired the roof or not. I don't know. Actually, if you go to Capernaum, it looks like they built a spaceship on top of the roof in replace of it. But that's another story that you have to go to Israel with us to see. They do whatever they can. They get him to Jesus. And you know what Jesus does? He heals the man. It happened because four men carried their friend together. My friends, that's how spiritual gifts are supposed to work. It's not you doing a solo deal. It's the body working together, carrying together. That's what makes it good. That's when it's profitable, is when we learn to work together, when we learn to carry together. Gifts are all about being together for others. You may have asked from time to time, why does God even give spiritual gifts? He doesn't give them so that you can set up a circus tent and make a big show. That's not why he gave spiritual gifts. He gave spiritual gifts so that God could be revealed through the working of the Spirit as we learn to work together in the body, as each of us do our part, our function. You can make a huge mistake if you think that coming to church here on Sunday, that the only benefit you get is because Dave is leading the worship and afterwards Rich teaches. And if you think that's all this church is about, I am sorry. I have made such a mistake. You know, I haven't made it clear. The church is a lot bigger than Dave and I. A lot bigger. The question is, why are you coming? Do you realize that God actually wants to use you? Yeah, but Rich, I've only been coming for 3 weeks. Man, God still wants to use you. And whether it's at this church or another church, he wants to use you. You need to figure out what your gifts are. And you need to learn to operate them. And some of that operation ought to be taking place right here, as well as outside of these four walls. Yeah, it could be, you know, a gift of helps setting up the coffee in the morning. I don't know, do they still serve coffee before second service? Do you guys get the coffee at all? Does anybody get the coffee? At least Earl gets the coffee. There's two of us that are awake. Three of us are awake. Oh, I see a fourth hand. I see a fire. Yeah, going. Well, you know what? People have volunteered their time to do that. It could be, oh my gosh, we got a mess of, I shouldn't tell you about the spider problem we have around here. You see the cobwebs. But you know what? It'd be nice to have somebody who wanted to take that on and get rid of the cobwebs. Would be. I know some of you have tackled that. Oh, I'm just sorry. I'm getting tired. I'm rambling off on unimportant things. It might be joining the team that prays during the service. That might not be important to you, but it's huge to me. It's a difference between when I feel like I have to water a huge lawn and I've got just a teeny garden hose that's got a kink in it and I just a little coming out. That's what it's like when I don't have a team back there praying. But when I got a team back there praying, man, I got a fire hose and it's going full blast and I'm just having fun, just going like this. I don't know if that made any sense to you. Prayer is a huge thing, and it's a team. It's a team. Those of you who pray that are on the team, I'm so grateful for you. Might be teaching a Sunday school class. This is the service that has the most children. Aren't you glad that somebody's, they're not just, you know, they actually don't babysit your kids. They're actually teaching them. David will joke around being the high school, the junior high guy who's always playing Nerf Wars and stuff, but it's a whole lot more, I know. He's teaching your kids. It might be just by coming in, making it your purpose to touch one or two people here every week, get to know a few more names, not so that you can feel like you belong, but so that you can pray and reach out to them, to give to them. I know a couple people who, they are weird. If you get, and I'll warn you, if you get in touch with these, if you bump into some of them, they're going to invite you out to lunch. They're going to invite you out to breakfast. And they're going to get to know you and love on you. Oh, that could be multiplied. Oh, that could be multiplied. You have gifts. God wants you to use them. Verse 8, we get into some of these gifts. We'll look at verses 8 and 9, and that's kind of where we'll end this morning. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. We're getting into some of the weird psychotype things, you know, that we're going to get into here for the next couple of weeks. We've talked about gifts of helps and mercies. Here's some of the more wild ones. One of them is the word of wisdom. That one's not too out there. On verse 8, that one is given to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. I will define this word of wisdom as supernaturally perfect solutions. Knowledge is about facts, but wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. There are some people who are incredibly smart, and their lives are a mess. They might have intelligence, but they're not wise. Some people might not be all that smart, but man, they have their life together. They know what to do with what they've got. Well, that's wisdom. A word of wisdom is over and above wisdom. It doesn't mean that the person knows the answer to every problem. They're not all wise. It will come when it's needed, and it comes when God wants it to come. Once the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus and were trying to ask him if it was lawful to be paying taxes. Now, this was a trick because in those days it was the law to pay your taxes. But the crowd that they're in front of doesn't want to pay their taxes. So it's a little bit of a trick. It's a little bit of a trick. If Jesus says it's okay to pay taxes, then the Jews will hate him. If he says, oh no, forget taxes, you know, tax revolt, well, then the Romans are going to arrest him. So it's kind of a bit of a trap. So how does Jesus answer it? He answers it with wisdom. He says, show me the tax money. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, well, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now I look at that and I think, well, that's a gotcha. Wisdom is not about gotchas. It's wisdom. You actually do need to pay your taxes. Actually, you do. If you follow some of the stuff on the internet that tells you don't need to pay your taxes, I'm sorry. You're missing it. The Bible says to pay your taxes. Even to Caesar. You think our government's bad? Even to Caesar. But you know what? There's someone whom you give even greater respect to than Caesar, and that's God. So you pay what belongs to Caesar, but you pay to God what belongs to him. That's wisdom. If you have this gift, you're going to find that from time to time, you will be given the most amazing answers, and you wonder where it came from. That's the word of wisdom. Doesn't come all the time. Doesn't mean you're all wise. James gives us some pointers of what this wisdom tastes like. James 3:17 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. and without hypocrisy. When you get a word of wisdom from God, it's going to look like that. It's not going to cause stirring up strife and trouble or envy. It's going to be that, a word of wisdom. Second gift from today, the word of knowledge. Verse 8, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Knowledge is about facts. It's about facts. I would define this as knowledge of things by supernatural means. An example, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And this is the first time they meet. Jesus just happens to be walking through her town and meets this gal. And he knows all about her. She goes back running to the village saying, "Come and meet a man who's told me everything I've ever done. This guy knows me." Now that, Jesus knows everything. Now that's kind of the difference between him and the word of knowledge, because the word of knowledge doesn't mean the person knows everything about you. But God will from time to time whisper in somebody's ear something about you. The gift can be used to build faith. A few years ago, I was in my office, and at the time, we were going through a rough patch in the church, struggling with something. And Lori, my secretary, she gives me a note. This is a copy. This is the actual note that she gave me, a phone message that I needed to call this guy. It was from a guy named Chris from Boyden Beach in Florida, a guy I've never met, never heard, don't even know where Boyden Beach in Florida is. And so I went and called him. He said he'd been praying and that my name came to his mind, and that God wanted him to be praying for me. Didn't ask me for anything. Didn't ask me to vote for anything. Didn't try to sell me anything. He just told me that God wanted him to be praying for me. And I have no idea how he got my name. I have no idea. No idea. But I gotta tell you, I was kind of shook to the core, a bit in awe, for the realization that God knows my name. God knows my name. And you're thinking, "Well, yeah, of course, you're the pastor. God knows your name." Friend, he knows your name too. You think that you're nobody. You think you're nothing, and God doesn't pay any attention to you. Well, you know what? I think that all the time. I do. Stop laughing at me, Lisa Hennessy. I know your name. Friend, you're no different. I'm no different. God knows you. Now, a little quick warning. Sometimes there are some churches that you'll see something like this. They'll say something like this. "Oh, the Lord has given me a word of knowledge. Oh, there's somebody in this room. I can feel it now. They have a back pain. If that's you, God wants to heal you." Now, I got news for you. Show of hands, how many of you right now in this room have back pains? First service is a little worse off. I guess the real pain in the back's come first service. But you know, I tell you, that's a slam dunk. That's a joke. We'll talk more about phonies next week. That's part of next week. So this is one of those things where you get the charlatans, you get the mentalists, you get the phonies, the phony psychics who want to play on this. But that doesn't mean that it isn't a real thing. It is a real thing. Sometimes God wants to use this gift to help you pray for others. I thought it was appropriate that I'd read to you something from Pastor Chuck. It's from his book, Living Water, page 113. This is what he wrote. He said, "Years ago, we were pastoring a community church. One Sunday, my wife, Kay, pointed to a fellow in our church who enjoyed a very prominent position in the community. He was a great family man with a tremendous personality. Kay said to me, when I looked at him this morning, I just knew by the Spirit he was having an affair with his secretary. It came so strong. I first thought, oh, that's a terrible thing to think. I should put that out of my mind. But it keeps coming back. He's having an affair with his secretary. Chuck said,
now, Kay, the Bible says we shouldn't have evil imaginations.
She said, no, every time I look at him, I see him with his secretary. He's carrying on. Chuck insisted,
oh, come on, not him.
And Chuck was on the right. A few months later, I received a phone call. This man and his wife were on the line together. They tried to speak, but all they got out was a feeble, Pastor Chuck. Their voices broke. They started sobbing and couldn't continue. So I said, that's all right. I know what the call is about. You do? He said incredulously. Yes, you've been in an affair with your secretary for the last 6 months. Come on over and let's talk and pray about it. This man and his wife were shocked that I knew exactly what was happening. But the Lord had already shown it to Kay. That is a word of knowledge. And you know what? Even though there's fakes out there, there is also the real thing. Because there is a God who does know. And from time to time, he gives that to someone. He gives that knowledge. Next gift is the gift of faith. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. I would define faith is trusting in something you don't see. That's my general definition of faith. Trusting in something you don't see. We're all supposed to have faith. And in fact, you know, without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. So you all need to have a measure of faith. You all need to put your life in His hands. And if for some reason there's something keeping you back from opening your heart to Jesus and believing in Him, let today be the day that you stop acting so stupid. There's a God who loves you, who cares about you. And He wants you to trust Him, to believe in Him, to have faith in Him. The Bible says that God so loved the world that whoever believes, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can't even quote John 3:16. I'm so tired. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes or trusts or has faith, it's all the same word, whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Why in the world would you not trust Him? That's a trust, a faith that we all can have, all should have. But the gift of faith is over and above. I would call it exceptional trust in God for something. It's like when Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Belief, trust, faith, those are all the same words. All pistis is the Greek word. It's all the same. Faith. Faith. All things are possible. Peter and John, we did this on Thursday night a couple weeks ago. One day they went up to the temple just like they did every day, and they saw this guy that they'd seen every day, just like they'd seen every day. Guy had been lame for 38 years. Talk about, he was one lame guy. Well, he was. He was there, and people would drag him there, and he would set up shop and beg for money. Did this every day. And one day, something was different. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, to me, there's healing involved, absolutely.
But, I mean, he's got guts.
Peter's got guts. I call that faith. By what he said to the guy. To say to the guy, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I could do that. Well, you could if you get the gift of faith at that moment and God releases it to you. Oh, sure, you can say that. And then he reaches out and grabs the guy.
Peter, what if he's not healed?
And he lifts him up.
What if you let go and he falls?
But that's faith. Exceptional trust for God, in God for something. How is the gift used? Sometimes it's used in prayer. Sometimes as you're praying for somebody, God just lays this thing in your heart and you are overwhelmed with the assurance that this is going to be okay. God's going to take care of this. I think that's sometimes where you will see this experience. Sometimes it's in counseling. Sometimes somebody's pouring out their heart to you and you have no idea what to say. And then suddenly you realize God is going to do this. God is going to answer this. It takes faith to believe in God for a miracle. Next gift is the gift of healings. In verse 9, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Two words, the word for gifts, that's that charisma word again. Charisma, literally a work of grace, we've talked about this. The same word that's translated as spiritual gifts. Here it's gifts of healings. And the word healings, iama, it's a means of healing, a remedy, medicine, a healing. And in Greek, both words are plural. It's not gifts of healing. It's not a gift of healings, but it's gifts of healings. What's that about? Let me give you some ideas, suggestions. You see, we usually think that, and it's not necessarily wrong, but we usually think that it's one person that God uses over and over to bring healing to others, and they pray for people to be healed. That may be involved in this. But another way of looking at it, and I think there's validity to this, that the gifts of healings are what happens when you are healed. God has given you a gift of healing. That's another way of looking at it. Could be. Possibility. Also, the idea of being plural could carry the idea that there's different kinds of healings. Physical healing, emotional healing, social healing, spiritual healing. Could be. Those are just possibilities to think about, but the fact that these are both plural. Now, one of the first questions everybody likes to ask, does everyone get healed? I have a very simple answer, no. What's wrong with you, Pastor? Do you lack faith? Actually, well, I do lack faith at times. I'll own up to that. But not this, because I don't lack biblical knowledge. Many people teach today that God will heal everybody all the time, and all they need is faith. And they will typically say that if you are not healed, it's one of two things. Either you have unconfessed sin in your life that's blocking this, or you have a lack of faith. Now, you can't disregard that. Those could be issues. That's possible. But my friend, sometimes the guilt trip is undeserved. I have a good friend who wrote me this. Think about this. If everyone is healed all the time, how come faith healers die? I mean, it's logical, right? If you're healed all the time, how come people die? Because God doesn't heal all the time. Paul asked to be healed three times. And three times God gave him the same answer, no. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, sicknesses, illnesses, infirmities, weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Sometimes, friends, the reason you are not healed is a bit more complicated than you simply lacking faith or unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's more complicated than that. Sometimes God wants to do a work in you of grace, of that God is enough. What if he doesn't heal you? Is just having God enough? No, I have to be healed. Well, then you've got a lesson to learn. Because the truth is, God is enough, whether I'm healed or not. And sometimes the pain is what helps me to grow deeper. My roots grow deeper when I go through difficulties. Has anyone in here experienced that? That at the end of the difficult thing, yes, look around, because there are people in here who can tell you that it's the difficult times that have brought them deeper and closer to God. How to receive healing? I basically just got to ask. That's the big thing. You can ask God to heal you. That's from 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul asked three times. It's a good thing. It's okay to just say, God, would you heal me? Sometimes it's good to ask someone else to pray for you. James 5:16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So sometimes get the circle bigger. Ask other people to pray for you. Sometimes you should ask someone to lay hands on you. Mark 16 talks about they will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Sometimes that's an important thing. Sometimes that's what God wants to do. James 5:14 says, if you're sick, to call for the elders and they will anoint you with oil. And sometimes God will work through that. Do we practice anointing people with oil? Sure, all the time. I usually have a little thing of oil in my backpack. I know Dan brought his oil with him today too. So, you know, sometimes that's what God wants to do. And I didn't put this up on the screen, but let me just say this. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor. Some of you don't go to the doctor because you're afraid of what he's going to tell you. Shame on you. Grow up. Oh my goodness. Go to the, you don't need to be afraid of the doctor. Well, if I go to the doctor, it's because I must have a lack of faith. No, it's the smart thing to do. If God heals you, you'll be healed. So, you know, some people have this goofy thing. Well, I know you prayed that God would heal your cold, and I know you're still sniffling, but just confess that you're healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I really am. I'm healed. No, you're not. Live in reality. If God heals you, the doctor will go, oh my gosh, what happened to you? And then God will get glory. Don't you not go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. God uses doctors. Remember what the word healing was about. It had the word medicine and remedy and all that kind of stuff in it. Sometimes God may actually want to use your doctor. So, with that, we are done. We are not going to end the service this morning with a song. If I get the guys who are, the folks who are going to pray to come on up front, we're going to end the service like this. In fact, let's all stand. And I want to lead us in a brief prayer. And then here's the deal. Maybe you would like to be prayed for. We've kind of hinted at this over the last couple weeks. Maybe you want to pray that God would be filling you with the Spirit. Maybe you want to pray that God would give a gift to you. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you just have a burden that you just want somebody to pray with you about. Well, my friends are up here for this purpose, to pray for you. Some of us brought our oil up, and we'll share the oil if we need to do that, if that's what you would like. I got to tell you, I have no expectations about what's going to happen. I don't know that people are going to get slain in the Spirit or they're going to be speaking in tongues. Though that, I don't know about slain in the Spirit, but we've seen people speak in tongues. It happens. I don't know if God will have a word for you or not, but it happens. But let's just see what God will do. And so if you would like prayer in a minute, you come on up and we're just all spread out. And if it's just one of you, then you'll get all 10 of us praying for you at the same time. We'll do that. If there's otherwise spread out among the people up here, and we would be honored to pray for you. We're nobody special. It doesn't really work that way. That's not what grace is about. But we'd be honored to pray for you. And the rest of you, could you do this with me? Could you stay standing at least for 2 minutes on your own and be praying for the folks? Just silently pray for the folks that are coming up. And then you can head out on your own. No benediction today. We'll just end when you're gone. And if it gets too long, we'll do a romaine and we'll just turn the lights out on you and we'll make everybody go away. So if we could all kind of hang around and just be in prayer. And if you'd like prayer, we're not going to have an altar call. You just come on up and grab one of these folks, and don't all line up in front of the same person. If you think I've got the secret, you got, boy, they got something to learn. Spread yourselves out, and we'll pray. Does that make sense? I hope that's clear. So let's all first just pray.